I look in the mirror myself, I look at who Jesus Christ is, and I realize that is amazing love. Talking about Paul this week, talking a little bit more about amazing love that we're supposed to show to each other. But 2 weeks ago, we started the book of Philemon. This is a book we could spend months on, but I'm only going to do it in 2 weeks. Last week we saw, or 2 weeks ago, Mary corrected me because we had a missionary last week. 2 weeks ago we saw Philemon receiving very high praise from the Apostle Paul by letter. This week, we see the purpose of this letter. Onesimus is presenting a letter and standing in front of Philemon, a formerly absolutely worthless slave who ran away from his master, probably stealing on the way out, now with a letter telling Philemon to reconcile with this slave. A newly saved man who needed the same love that Philemon showed every member in his church. It was a time to put secular differences aside and accept a new brother in the faith. We often divide ourselves by physical classes. White collar, blue collar, college grads, high school dropouts, Democrats, Republicans, all kinds of things. We separate ourselves, make these small cliques, think we are all so bright, but we forget. In God's eyes, there are only two classes of people. There are people who have accepted the free gift of the blood of Christ for the remission of sins and been adopted into the kingdom of God, or there are people who have rejected this free gift to be banished forevermore in a lake of fire where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Make no mistake, there are different maturities within brethren in the church. But there are only two classes of people. Our job is to help brethren in their walks and to call strangers into the kingdom. Philemon was a very well-respected man in Colossae, called now to accept a lowly, thieving slave as his equal, one who was useless to him before. Why is he standing in front of me now with what he's done in the past to me? Doesn't he know better? One far below his social standing. I owned this man who ran away. Wouldn't he be more comfortable in a different church? Philemon looked down on Onesimus. He considered himself far less than himself. And yet, he accepted a letter of full praise from a prisoner. Apostle Paul was in prison at the time, looking like a common criminal. At the same time, he served a savior that society crucified as a common criminal. What did this show? It's not who you are in society. It's who you follow. Who are you going to follow to get to your destination? Do you follow worldly successful men who look and sound good but have no map showing the way? Or do you follow the one who is the way, the truth, and the life to get to the Father? I choose the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Paul did. So did Philemon. Let us see how Philemon would do the same with Onesimus. Turn in the Bibles to Philemon. We're going to read from verse 8 all the way to 25. So Philemon, starting in verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how much thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for that grace of that Lord Jesus. We're so thankful for the amazing love that they just sang about, the amazing love that accepts every one of us as sons and daughters of the Most High God if we but accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross to pay our sins, to pay our debt, to pay our penalty. Lord, we've been pardoned. We've been accepted. Let us show that grace to others. Let us accept others who accept that grace, even though they may be beneath us in stature, even though they may be beneath us in maturity. Let us help each other in our walks. Let us see each other grow in grace. Let us have joy as we see people get closer to Jesus Christ and unify the church in one that we can all realize that no matter what we are in the world, in here, we are all equal as joint heirs of Jesus Christ, selected in positions to please and glorify you. We ask all of us in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, Paul is asking here to look at a skeptical Philemon to accept Onesimus. Much like Barnabas introduced Saul to a skeptical church in Jerusalem, Paul is introducing a formerly useless slave to a very skeptical Philemon, giving him on behalf of a newly adopted member of the household of faith the truth of Galatians 6:10. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Seeing Onesimus is now of the household of faith, James 4:17 comes to mind. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Paul is writing this letter to tell Philemon, avoid sin. Accept Onesimus. He is a saved brother. Forgive him as Jesus Christ forgave you. Now, Philemon had reason to have aught against Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave treated well by this godly man as shown by his character and his testimony. Treated well? Onesimus runs away. Onesimus probably stole on the way out. Onesimus likely justified himself in Paul before he was saved by attacking Philemon's character. Now, Paul corrects Philemon's thinking. How many in your church were formerly useless sinners? How valuable were you before Christ saved you? As you are now a valuable and changed man and a brother in Christ, he is a valuable and changed man and now a brother in Jesus Christ. Accept him in love. Teach him in love. Use him in love. Allow him to be a unified part of the body that you have there. As we saw last time, Paul does not command from a position of strength as an apostle. He comes with truth that Philemon already knows, building him up and his church up to see fruit from a formerly worthless slave, to glorify Jesus Christ, to glorify God, to build the body of Christ. As Paul seeks reconciliation to close the breach in the church, he presents Onesimus as four things: a changed man with a changed testimony, giving him a changed relationship, and a changed accounting for eternity. So first of all, a changed man. Matthew Henry had this to say about Onesimus and Philemon. It is not difficult for anyone to imagine how great the difficulty to overcome in his mind before the object of Paul could be accomplished. This would be especially so if we bear in remembrance the repugnance necessarily felt by a slaveholder to receive one who had been a slave as an equal in any respect, or to regard and treat such a one as a Christian brother on the same level as himself, especially if he had embezzled property from him on the way out. What makes Onesimus worthy to be considered a brother of Philemon, a respected elder in the church? Well, basically, Jesus Christ has accepted him. As a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you now must accept him as a joint heir of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ has made him as such. You are equal in position in front of Jesus Christ. As John 1:12-13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If God has given him the power to be a son of God, who are you to reject him? Verse 11 shows that he is now a useful Christian. Onesimus in the Greek means profitable, useful, to help. He plays on his name, saying beforehand, Onesimus did not live up to the call that God gave him with his name. He was not Onesimus. All he did was a vanity of no eternal value whatsoever. But he's now converted. He is now saved. He is now a changed man. He is now Onesimus. He is now useful. He's useful to you in the flesh. He's useful to you in the church. He's useful to you in the spirit. But how would Philemon know that this conversion was real? We often wonder about that with people. Did they really change, or did they just say some words? Was he really a changed man? Well, Paul himself saw to his conversion as an apostle. He was converted by Paul, converted through Paul's teaching, and then he was proved by the fruit that he produced. Onesimus stayed with Paul to help with his ministry in jail. As a runaway slave, he had no advantage staying in this jail to help Paul. He was a learned man. He actually transcribed this particular letter and also the book of Hebrews. If you look at that, it was penned by Onesimus. He obviously knew how to write and was a very learned man. Paul said in Colossians 4:9 that he would use Onesimus to bring testimony on what was happening in the ministry in the jail. This is, again, a runaway slave with a possible death sentence. He didn't care about the risks. He cared more about Paul's work in spreading the gospel than he cared about his own life, once again proving he had some fruit. Paul would not want to receive any benefit. His testimony shows he was converted. His fruit shows that he was converted. His association with Paul and the saints shows he was converted. His standing in front of Philemon as a repentant sinner against him to make any wrong right proves that he was a converted man. So with this conversion, this proven conversion, comes a changed testimony. Paul did not desire Onesimus to leave him. He did not want him. He was useful to him. Paul's in jail. There's not a lot of visitors in jail. He needs people to help build him up. He is profitable. He provided fellowship. He considered him a beloved son in the faith and loved him in the same way in the flesh. But reconciliation was required in the relationship between Onesimus and Philemon. Onesimus had grown quickly and is listed as a great minister of the faith in the book of Colossians. Yet relationships in a church are critical for unity across the body to make effective our callings. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 24. So Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. There is aught between Onesimus and Philemon. So Paul sent Onesimus back. Proving his testimony, Onesimus returned to Philemon. Paul was a prisoner. He had no legal authority to send Onesimus back to Philemon. Philemon could have taken the letter, threw it away, and ran away. Been perfectly safe. Gone to where the barbarians are, avoid being captured. He could have done this, and there was nothing Paul could have done to stop him. But it would have ruined a testimony that was now very important to him. He needed to fix what he had done in the flesh. He was willing to face Philemon in humility to fix any wrong he had done. Paul, once again, did not want to send Onesimus back. He says he sent it like his own bowels. That is kind of saying, like, my heart goes with him, is what we would use today. He loved him as a son. He didn't want to lose that fellowship. But he recognized he had to preserve unity in this new fledgling church. Onesimus, at the same time, would not be comfortable in returning. But a life changed by Christ gives a changed testimony. Paul would not want to receive any benefit that would be coming from Onesimus that would, in the flesh, rightly belong to Philemon. Spiritual conversions do not negate physical requirements or physical positions. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye, masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing to threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Onesimus needed to show that God had placed him as a servant. He needed to show himself a willing servant, doing what God called him to do, unless Philemon would give him leave to accomplish his call somewhere else, and he was willing to return in humility and do so. Conversions cause this type of action in people. In Luke 19:8, Zacchaeus told Jesus that if he had taken anything by false accusation, he would restore it. Not with singleness of heart, not with singleness of debt, fourfold. He was new saved testimony, wanted to ensure his old testimony would not damage the cause of Christ. And he would show himself much more liberal in that way to show others that Christ had changed him. Paul desires to have Onesimus to stay and refresh him. Onesimus desired to stay with his spiritual father. But a breach in fellowship with Philemon needed to be repaired. If Philemon stayed offended, the church at Colossae would be damaged. So now we have his changed testimony. We now see Paul calling for a changed relationship. In the church, every one of us is equal in sight of God. Galatians 3:26-28 says this, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Conversion does not disannul civic responsibilities. We live in a fallen world as ambassadors to Jesus Christ. As ambassadors, we obey the world's laws as long as they do not violate the laws of the kingdom. Paul here informs Philemon that Onesimus may have departed a slave, but he must return as a brother in Christ. Philemon must love him as a joint heir along with Jesus Christ. Paul next goes into the sovereignty of God and the thankfulness that Philemon should show. Onesimus left for a season, but look what happened when Onesimus left for a season. In doing so, he met Paul. In meeting Paul, he was gloriously saved. By being saved, he was now willing to humble himself, return to Philemon, to repair a breach. And in repairing that breach, he would then be useful to Philemon as he now lives for Jesus Christ. In the flesh, he would serve him however Philemon desired. In the spirit, he would help build the church in Colossae any way that he could be used. Philemon was not to receive Onesimus as a slave or as a servant, but to welcome him as a beloved brother in Christ. A brother also with Paul, who loved Onesimus as he loved Philemon. A brother, once again, who would be useful, Onesimus, to him in the flesh. A brother who would honor and worship Christ in the spirit. Growing in grace and being useful to Philemon in his home and being useful to Philemon in his church. In a church, none are to be considered superior by worldly position, worldly benefits, worldly riches. As an owner of an indentured servant should be willing to sit under that indentured servant as a pastor. The servant displaying love of Christ by his service to his master. The master obeying the servant in the church as he prays for and glorifies this pastor in Christ. Philemon was angry with Onesimus in the way he would not have been with members of his own church. He mistook worldly position for spiritual worth and justified his anger. Paul says Onesimus is beloved by him. Onesimus needs to be loved and accepted by you now. You're a pastor of a church, show that love. You're a pastor of a church, show that forgiveness. You're a pastor of a church, ensure that Onesimus is now considered an equal and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. And show the church your forgiveness of him as an example to everyone else. So with all this, we have a changed accounting. Verse 17 asks Philemon to accept Onesimus as himself if he counts Paul as a partner. Basically, make this slave an equal partner in the faith. And we see Paul standing in the place of Onesimus in front of Philemon. willingly taking on Onesimus' past sins on himself, that Philemon would then accept this brother in the faith. Much like Christ willingly took my sins to make me a partner in the faith and a joint heir of Jesus Christ, giving a very soft yet very strong answer as to why Onesimus should be forgiven of his past debt. Just as Jesus willingly can forgave my past debt with his blood. Paul willingly offered to cover the debt of Onesimus with his own treasure. Paul gives Philemon something to think about with this small amount of mammon. I will repay all from my jail cell with my mammon, but remember what you owe me in the spirit. Is your focus on mammon? Is your focus on the buck that he stole on the way out? God can replace any loss with a cow from his thousand hills. But here's a writ of payment. The writ of payment of what he owes you, I've written my own hand, and you can take it and you can cash it if you so desire. But remember what you have been forgiven. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 to 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You were bought with the price of the blood of Christ for your salvation. Onesimus was bought with the blood of Christ for his salvation. Is it worth the buck he owes you for you to be resentful? Put past bitterness behind, forgive the debt, and accept the joy of fellowship at this point. I have this, I will pay you. I'm in jail right now, but I'll empty out my bank account to cover his debt to make sure you accept it. But you'd be far better off if you forgave it. Paul had praised Philemon. He knew his character, telling him things he already knew. I have shown my dedication, and I am in jail for it. Forgive and accept my son in the faith, that the joy of this elder saint can be made full. I know you. I know you'll respond, accept him, to allow him to fulfill God's call in his life. My joy will be complete. Onesimus' joy will be complete as he sees the power of God through the reconciliation of his saints, and your joy will be full as you see God working in his life, using you to help in his growth. Paul closed with a desire to join Philemon on his release, helping his church, seeing its growth, reuniting with friends, including Onesimus. He closes with witnesses Philemon knew for extra joy, showing the fellowship of believers, showing all these are equal partners, showing Onesimus is now one of them. Accept him in the faith. So with all this, Philemon had let a bad carnal event cloud spiritual truths. Onesimus had ran away as an unsaved, useless slave. Treated well by a Christian man, Philemon was probably angry, likely offering a reward for his return, which was very common in Roman times. Onesimus became saved and useful to the cause of Jesus Christ. Willingly returning to Philemon, wanting to repair any breach. Also wanting to say, if someone else had grabbed Onesimus and drug him back, it would have cost Philemon money. Onesimus did not want to put extra debt on that account. Paul gives the letter as a slight reproof to a good Christian man to change anger to spiritual joy. Did Philemon actually do more than what Paul asked in verse 21? Paul was confident that Philemon would do more than he actually asked. A letter from Ignatius to Onesimus, the bishop of Ephesus, on the occasion of his martyrdom, alludes to the letter of Philemon. By tradition, this is the same Onesimus. As the letter talked about the letter of Philemon, I would put much weight on the fact that this is the same Onesimus. By reconciliation with an angry Philemon, a corrected Philemon made Onesimus very useful to the cause of Jesus Christ. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Paul exhorted, as an equal Philemon, to turn carnal anger into spiritual love and spiritual reconciliation, pointing out that this was in his character, and that character was known by all. Show that character to this slave who has now returned in humility. Now, he could have killed that slave as an example to others. That was common in Roman times. Slave runs away, kill him, no one else will run away. But instead, he responds to Paul's soft answer and led Onesimus in his call. Finding error in another, don't be quick to attack the problem. Look at his Christian character. Be ready to praise and then point out the error as inconsistent with that good character. as Paul did with Philemon. The first part of this letter was all absolute praise of a good Christian man who was living a good Christian life. Point out those good things first. Then, if there is a small error, discuss that error as inconsistent with everything I already know about you. If you attack the speck in another man's eyes with vengeance, be ready for him to return and look at the beam in your own eye. Unity and schisms will then destroy the church as everyone takes sides. Come as an equal, not as a judge. Love to build up, not tear down. Encourage and exhort another, and maybe we'll see a former sinner become a great leader of a revival right here in Berea. I don't know what God has in store here, but we need to make sure that we ensure that everyone who is saved is encouraged, exhorted, built up, and helped to see when they err from a walk of Christ, how to get back to that walk with Christ. Again, to be built up, not torn down. Because my walk is not perfect. Nobody's walk is. I want people to help me make a better walk. And at the same time, if I accept that slight correction, they will be willing to accept slight correction. And all of us will grow closer to Christ, we'll see more unity, and this church will accomplish whatever God's call is on it. With that, we need to understand exactly what we need to do. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus and live for him and not consider ourselves the absolute arbiter of what the faith is. So turn to page 326 and we'll sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I am a joint heir of Jesus Christ. I am a son of the Most High God, loved and accepted with a mansion, ready there, part owner of heaven. Well, every one of you, if you've saved, can say the same thing. It's not because I'm so wonderful. It's because of the amazing love that they just talked about. We need to remember that when we try to correct error in the church, and there's plenty here, because we're human, fallen world. When we correct it, do we correct it as superior, as judges? Or do we correct it as Paul did with Philemon, as fellow joint heirs with Jesus Christ and joint heirs with each other? If we do so, we can grow. If we do so with love, not judgment, we can have error corrected because we go to the Bible. We turn our eyes upon Jesus, and we let him be the one that corrects, not us. Because if I have plenty of error, if I try to correct error on my own, you can point to mine. We need to make sure the Bible is the standard. We need to make sure we bring the truth in love. Make sure that error is taken care of. It must be. Church discipline must happen. But it must be done in love, as understanding each one of us are joint heirs with each other. If we do that, we can grow. Let's not have schisms. Let's not have separations. Let's make sure that we do exactly that. With that, as we go to prayer, ask if you understand that fully. I don't fully. I'll tell you that right now. Me, joint heir with Jesus Christ, believe me, I don't understand that at all. But I do understand it. He's allowed me to have that. Pray to God for understanding. Pray to God what that means. Pray to God that you would show the love that Jesus Christ showed to you, that you would have discernment to make sure that walks in others are correct as you correct your walk first and allow them to correct your walk. And then, if you haven't been saved, you are not a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If you haven't been saved, you're a child of the devil, going to a sinner's hell. Make today the day that you decide to leave that kingdom, come into the kingdom of God, as we're studying in the afternoon service, and accept his free gift. Then you can be part of this unity of this church, and you can grow closer to Jesus Christ. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. After Rich plays a verse, I'll close us. Heavenly Father, David asked in the Psalms, what is man that you should consider him, or the son of man that you should consider him? And Lord, I agree with that fully. What am I that you should even consider me? What am I that you should even use me? And yet, Lord, by my faith in the blood of Christ, You have adopted me as a son of God, joint heir of Jesus Christ, to live eternally in heaven with you. And that is true of anybody here. It's not because I'm special. It's only because I recognize that I'm not special. I recognize I am a sinner worthy of hell. And Lord, that is true of every single person here who is saved. Lord, let us realize who we are. Let us build each other up in the faith. Let us build each other up, turning our eyes upon Jesus Christ so we can get closer to him. Make our spirit strong and defeat the sins of the flesh. And Lord, when we see a speck in another's eyes, let us first examine ourselves. Let us then praise that other person for the fact that he has accepted Jesus Christ, for the good work he's doing, and then correct any small error they have, recognizing that it is no greater than ours. And let us accept correction from another as they lift us up, as we build each other up closer to Jesus Christ with the goal of having a close walk and joy in Jesus Christ, not in the goal of being right. And Lord, as we move forward, unify this church as one. Unify this church as one that looks to your word to correct error, to use your word to see how to live, to use your word to go out in this world to bring others into the kingdom. And let us receive the joy of knowing that our labors are not in vain, but that you will empower us, you will equip us, and you will allow us to reap the fruit that you have allowed us to plant in this world lost and dying. We ask in your precious son's dear name, amen.